Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place and another episode of Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Oh, I never give myself a title. Oh, God, and it's okay. God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us on today, God, because this is all about you. God, we recognize that with this, God, this is about strengthening your people, God. It's about giving them the knowledge they need to be who you've called them to be. So, God, today, we just thank you. We thank you. I'm just talking to you already, God. That's the excitement I have. I am joined today with some keys of the Empowerment Place. We have with us Evangelist Hope Bronson again this morning, and we have Minister Martha Clayton this morning as we're talking about love. Love. It's a love thing. We're talking about that again this morning. As we ended on last week, the question was posed, even though you love God, sometimes you still hurt people. And we know that to be certain. I mean, and so we question today how we cope, what we do, and how does this go forward. So we thank God for that. We're going to start today from the scriptures from Matthew chapter 5, starting at verses 44 through verses 48. And I'm going to read this to you from the King James Version, and it reads this way. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, I know off the top, that right there is already a challenge because, you know, right. This is a love month. So off the top, but I say unto you, and this is in red, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and speak first. That takes some Holy Ghost deliverance and healing, like something it you ain't never seen before, but I can let you know that it is possible. You know, when we talk right. about love, when we talk about doing good to people who have hurt you, sometimes, it's not going to happen in that moment. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from the situation in order to be able to go back and pray for them and go back That's and right. still love them and still do good to them. Because in the moment when that happens, let's just be real. Okay, Valerie's just going to be real with you. When that moment happens, it will take all of God, not just Holy Ghost that dwells in me, but it will take all of God in that moment to fix me so that I'm going to still love those who just did me dirty.
Oh, yeah.
But not That's only that, me. You said you have to step away so that you can pray for that person, but a lot of times you have to step away to pray for yourself.
Because you got to get yourself back to a place. Yeah,
exactly. You have to, I pray for myself before I even pray for the person. Because I know, I'm like, God, I need your help right now. And I know who you are, and I know who you are in me. But I know the Martha that I used to be is still trying to come back out.
Help, Lord.
Even though I know when I got baptized, that was an outward showing to men. That the dead in me, that old me was passed away, and this is the new me. And I know the word, and I know God said, you know, turn the other cheek. And he also said, if you love me, you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's all of these loves. And we have the agape love, that's the God kind of love. And then we have the logos, which word that gives us all of these things that we're supposed to do, but at the same time, even if you're fasting, even if you're praying, even if you're tithing, there's still a part of you that will until you are, I guess, perfect in Christ, which it says you can be perfect in Christ, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, mm-hmm. which in heaven is perfect. We as human beings have to walk a spiritual walk. We have to talk a talk. But sometimes we haven't got to where we're talking in our walk. And I think that sometimes things happen that you think, well, God, what? And wait, you know. And a lot of people say, oh, it's the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil. Some things happen and your flesh just rises up. And if everybody says they don't have no problem with their flesh, I would like to sit in their presence for like a month so that I can get a rub off on me. Because the flesh is always in the way. It doesn't matter. You know, you can finish praying and somebody can do something. Jehovah's Witness can knock on the door and you can be like, my God, it's 7 o'clock. But you don't mean
why
that
you bother
attitude,
me?
But at the same time, it just is something in you, not everybody, I'm talking about me, but it's something in me that just rises up and I have to physically tell myself, bring it down. But then when I do self-destruct, right, I'm like, thank you, God, because I know it's not me. I know it's him. I know it's him because I'm like, you know, I know I'm maturing and I'm learning, but at the same time, God, I know that was you just now that let that lady just cuss me out and she's still walking down the street and I'm still standing right here looking like, wow. I know that. That had
to be. Yeah, because old me would have snatched her back.
Right. Well, the old me would have at least said some words to make her feel like she just made me feel.
Right.
But when I can walk away, then I feel like that was him in me, not the me, or that's the me maturing in him. And I can be thankful, but a lot of times I don't get that chance to be thankful. I have to go into the repentance mode, and then I got to go back and tell somebody, you know, I'm sorry I said what I said. I did not mean to hurt you. And sometimes I say I meant what I said, but I didn't mean to say it like that. So the flesh in me will take over, and I'm just trying to be as honest as I can be on your show because you know I that's just come on out of bounds. Okay.
Well, I mean, but that's what it's about though, you know, and on this broadcast we try to keep it real. I mean, we are people who have experienced life. We have experienced good times, bad times, you know, hit the bottom, come back up, hit the bottom again. You know, we've been hurt. And see, our premise is that even though we've encountered these situations and we are grateful to God for the word that said what the enemy meant for bad, that God turned it around and made it for our good. You know, we can attack to these things now because, as you stated, we are maturing. We have learned some lessons, and we have a better idea of what it takes to really succeed in what God has given us. So, you know, when we look at the fact that it is a love thing, you know, we are all women, and it's something about our love that's very different from the love that men have, the love that men show. Our love is different. Our love seems to be most of the time a little more nurturing and a little more patient and a little more forgiving. But when you hurt us, when you hurt us, oh, that love sometimes would look so nasty because you hurt me. I'm giving you everything I got. I'm doing everything I can for you to help. You know, when we, especially looking at relationships between a man and a woman, we give everything. If we really into this person, we would have given everything
right,
to make sure that this is the best relationship it can possibly be. And then you got the nerve to hurt me, and now, God, you want me to bless them and do good?
Right.
And you want me to pray for them? After they done cheated on me, after they done took all the money out the bank account, after they done told me I got to get out the house that I beautified and spent my time and money in, and you want me to pray for them?
Right.
And he said, "Yeah, be there for them."
I mean, just to be gentle. You know,
caring.
When he says, "Be angry and sin not," and then he wants you to be kind to that person. You know, you can look at that person after a while, and you can say, "Okay, God, I got it. I'm doing it." And it can take one little thing, and all of a sudden, all of that old stuff comes right back, and you're right back where you started from, even though you've already prayed about it and you said you forgave them, you know, and you go through all the motions. Now you back, everything's back on track. The wheel is turning. Things are going good again. You're doing your stuff again. You're cleaning. You're cooking. You're doing whatever. And all of a sudden, one thing happens. It could be a phone call. It could be a text message. It could be wearing something that you haven't seen the person wear before. It could be anything. But at the same time, it brings back that thing, you know. And it reminds me of when we give our life to Christ. If you were addicted to something, whether it was men or drugs or whatever, you know, every time you get into a bad situation, the first thing you want to do flesh wise is to go back to what made you feel good, whether it be a drink or a joint or what have you. But then you have to talk to yourself and you have to say, God, I know I've been delivered from that thing. I need you to help me right now, because my body is telling me I need that, but I know that you're stronger than my flesh. And then you can ask for help. I always grab James 4:7, submit myself therefore to God, resist the devil and he shall flee. And that's the scripture that got me over drinking. That's the scripture that got me over smoking. That's the scripture that gets me through talking back to my supervisor. That's my scripture. But then when things happen again in another situation, I might forget about James 4:7. I might not even go to God and say, God, I need your help right now. I just go with it, you know. And I'm one of those people that every morning that ask God to put a watch on my mouth, because I know I'm quick to say things, whether they be spiritual or not. If something is wrong, I always felt in my heart it needed to be corrected, because I grew up bullied, which turned me into a bully. And I didn't know I was a bully, but I bullied people who bullied people, if that makes sense. I didn't just pick on anybody. I mean, I wouldn't just say, oh, well, hope I'm not going to play with you today because you got blonde hair and me and Valerie got black hair. No, it wasn't like that. But if I, somebody on the playground, if I didn't even know Hope, but I saw somebody push her, I felt that it was my responsibility to make them stop. So being bullied turned me into a bully, which now I don't feel like I'm a bully, but I feel like I'm very outspoken. So if you see me coming in the elevator, you know I got my hands full, and you don't press the button. And next time I see you, I'm going to say, you know, thank you for holding that elevator for me the other day when my hands were full. I really appreciate it. You have a great day. That's not necessary, but I just feel like I need to let that person know. I know what you did. You know what you did. And you was dead wrong. Instead of just saying, God, forgive them. Because they didn't. Maybe they was in a hurry. Maybe they had to get home. Their wife was having a baby. I don't know. But it's just, I don't. And the reason I'm saying those things is because today I need you to help me to not do those things, or to better myself to not do those things. Because I know it's flesh.
And you brought up some good points, and you said, I'm not a bully anymore. But the truth is, you've still got some bully characteristics that haven't been completely suppressed.
And yeah, I told you I need to exercise. I told you I need
to be exercised. But what?
Yeah,
what
everybody
happens
come over here with their oil now. Okay.
And get to work. Get to work. But yeah. But you have to, you know, when we talk about it's a love thing and getting to the place where you can do what this word says, you know, to love those and not feel like I have to let you know what's on my mind. Like, I have to make a statement. See, what makes the loudest statement
is his love towards those people who know they do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, you face that when your hands are full and they at the elevator and they see you coming and they just let it close and be like, whatever. In that moment, instead of you looking at them like, yo, you crazy, did you see me coming? You could say, excuse me, could you open the door? You could engage, because me, when I see people coming, if my mind is somewhere else, if I'm thinking I got to call my daughter and check on her as soon as I get off this elevator, I got to check on my husband, I check on my dad, I'm not really even thinking about what's going on there, but I'm thinking about what I have to do next, and so I move in that, where I could really blind somebody else, and they could be right there before
okay.
me. So God said, you know what, I need, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, a lot, you know, when you walk out the room or when you get out your car, you say, okay, right now I'm regressing. Holy Spirit, take charge.
Right.
Holy Spirit, just take charge. Holy Spirit, take charge. I don't want Valerie to open her mouth. I want Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. I need Holy Spirit to show forth the love that Valerie can't always show forth, because Valerie sometimes will have some issues with some people that have acted crazy. So, Holy Spirit, I need you to take charge. I just need you to take charge. And you know, yesterday, my husband and I were coming out of a store, and in the store there was this young guy, and he was in there acting like he was dribbling a ball. And I said, you play ball? He said, no. I said, well, do you want to play ball? He said, no. I said, so you just like to walk around acting like you dribbling a basketball? He said, yeah. I said, oh, Lord, this poor child. He walked out the store. I said, baby, what grade are you in? I just started a whole dialogue, because what God showed me is that he was seeking attention. He wasn't breaking the law to get attention, but he needed somebody to love up on him. So in that moment when I was like, that poor little kid, he's so disturbed. And Benny was like, honey, they do that like it's some kind of dance or something at school. You see them dribbling, act like they're dribbling all day long. Ain't nobody got no ball. He said, I don't know what that is. But God said he needed some attention. He needed some love. So I took time. I said, what are your plans? What grade are you in? What are your grades? How are your grades? And, you know, he told me what his plans were to go into the NFL. I said, well, you got a backup plan? Not that I ain't saying you can't make it in the NFL, but after the NFL, what you going to do?
Right.
I don't know. Well, what kind of grades you got? I got good grades. I said, A's? No. A's and B's? No. I said, well, you don't have good grades. He said, huh?
Right.
I said, you need A's and B's to get to college, baby. If you want to get somewhere where you can be seen to get to the NFL, you're not going to make it with B's and C's and D's.
Right.
He just looked at me. And so I just loved up on him. But had I just been looking with my natural eye, I wouldn't have seen it. I just would have
right.
been a crazy kid. But because I said, God, show me the truth of what this kid needs, then I was able to show forth love to him and have a conversation and make him feel good about himself when we finish. That's the place that we have to be in. That's a place of empowerment when you
right.
are not moving about trying to get stuff done within your own mind, within your flesh, because we know our flesh is funny. Our flesh is real funny. You stroke us good, we good. You stroke us wrong, it's a problem. Holy Spirit ain't like that. Holy Spirit going to be Holy Spirit whether our flesh acts up or not. So if
right.
we're engaging the Holy Spirit to do in us what needs to be done instead of us trying to do it within our own selves, then we're going to be successful in doing this love thing. Now, you know, the question was posed. What if we still, yes, we love God, but still sometimes we hurt. We hurt folk. What is it? What is it? How do we cope with that? And God was like, the way you cope with that is to remember what I've done for you.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. He said, remember what I've done for you. You talk about Martha, how this particular scripture got you through drinking and got you through this and got you through that. But when you think about the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross, how forgiving he was of everything that we've ever done and the things that we're still thinking about doing that we know ain't right, even those things, when we think about what he's done for us, then how much more would it be easy for us to love somebody that's not, that can't even compare to the stuff that we've already done? How then do we hold judgment against them when God forgave us for all of our foolishness? So while we want to impose and inflict some pain on somebody else, they've not done anything to us more than what we've already done to ourselves. And all that's been forgiven. Why then would we want to hurt him? If God really is on the inside of us, doing what he does on the inside of us, making us whole, making us perfect in him. Why then would I want to hurt somebody else?
Then, and well, a lot of times it's not that you don't, that you do want. I mean, you could go through the day at work witnessing and being good and then get home, and it could be something that sets you off at home. So it's not that you don't, that you're not walking with him. It's not like you're flipping out on people every single day. And like you said, you do ask the Holy Spirit to take over, because where Martha is, this is not going to work out good. So I need you, Holy Spirit, to take control of me today, this day. I ain't worried about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, but today, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever day it is, today I need you to take control. But it still does not, and even though we know that God died for us and he took all of our sins, he took all of our addictions, he took everything with him to that cross, it still does not, I'm not going to say excuse because that's not the word I'm looking for, but it still does not stop the fact that at times we still allow ourselves to be ourselves and not be the Christ-like king or queen, kingdom citizen that we have been called to be. I think that I know a lot of people who carry themselves those ways. I don't know them other than when I see them. So I can't say that they do or that they don't. But they're so holy that I'm like, wow, God, I don't know how you get to that point. And I don't. I mean, I hope that one day I do. I know at one point when I first gave my life to Christ, I would never have done something to hurt somebody because of the love that I had for him at that point. But I think that at some point you go through so many things, like you said, that you lose focus. And you lose that focus. You don't lose that. You might not lose that intimacy, that time you have with him in the morning. Mm-hmm. But you do put him aside. I put him aside when something is bothering me, because I have to say it, even if I say it in love. I have to say what's bothering me, because if I don't, I walk around with it and I talk about it to myself and I talk about it to God and I talk about it to myself. And then I find myself at the dishes, I'm washing the dishes, I'm talking about it. And I don't want to keep carrying it around with me. So I'd rather just give it to you, let you deal with it, because I don't want to have that.
And so that speaks to transformation. The word says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the same way we get up when we have our time with him, you know, whether it be prayer or reading scripture or whatever our routine is with him, it will require also that as I'm talking to you, God, I need you to search me because I need some regenerative work done today, so that those things in me which rise up and cause me to act out of your character. God, I need that dealt with today, like I need some other stuff dealt with. See, God says when we put him in remembrance of his word, he's faithful to do just what it is we've said. And, you know, when we pray believing that we receive that which we ask, God will do those things for us. So I don't know who I was talking to, but they said maybe my conversation with him is off maybe what I should be asking God for, I'm not really asking him for that. I'm just saying I'm giving him my emotions instead of giving him my request. So I think it is the same way. When we're doing this love thing, when we're living this love life, that we have to be mindful to love according to his standard of love and not our own standard. Because he tells us in his word, love is patient and kind. And that love doesn't fail. So it requiring that we get out of self to love.
And we don't.
We don't. There's anything that we can face and we can react to it or we can respond to it. And depending upon who the person is that imposed that emotion will depend on what kind of effect happens, whether we respond or whether we react. But because of Christ and the love that he has for us, every interaction that we have, regardless of who it is and how it felt, we have got to respond the God way. Back in the day when they had those bracelets, What would Jesus do? Our interactions with people, even those who have done us wrong, should be based on what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond in this situation? And because he's my big brother and I try to do what my big brother does because we got the same daddy and I want to look like my daddy, what would my daddy do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
My daddy going to love him. Even love the hell out of him. That's what my daddy going to do. He gonna love him. So I've got to love him because I'm my daddy's girl.
Your brother gonna love him. Your daddy might smite him.
He might. But he gonna love him.
Thanking God for my intercessor.
Woo, Jesus. Evangelist Hope?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. We're down to 2 minutes. What say ye?
What say ye is, yes,
what
it took a while for me to get to that place because I always had to say, try to put myself in the other person's position. What if that was me? Would I want someone treating me, you know, awful? I have to look at it. I'm like, why am I acting like that? Especially if I'm still hurting or if I'm still acting nasty, why am I still acting like that? So now I've learned to check myself before I sit there and put the blame on somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. That's my two cents.
I like your two cents, but I still think I still, in my mind, down to these last seconds, I think it boils down to the situation. And some things we're more mature in Christ in, and we can handle better. Some things come along, which, you know, you can handle because you haven't been through it before, or someone hasn't been through it that has talked to you about their testimony or what have you. So you don't know how to deal with it, and it might not be scriptures that teaches you how to. It's scriptures that teaches you about love, but there's nothing that tells you how to deal with an affair or how to deal with a boss that's trying to do everything but fire you because they can't fire you. So you don't have that word to go in and look up those specific things. You can look up something that Paul says that's similar. But like being in jail, but at the same time, I think that we face things that we are not mature enough to handle, and we learn as we grow. And I feel that some Christians come in, they make a mistake, and there's nobody to teach them that this is okay. You can do that and mess up and repent and keep going. But there's some situations that you have that you won't even talk to other people about because you don't want people to know what's going on. And so you try to deal with it on your own accord, even though you're praying about it, still that flesh will rise up. And you have to repent,
Amen.
And you start over, and it gets a little easier each time. But I can't say that everybody can handle every situation the same.
Amen. Amen. Well, our time is up. Our recording has ended. So thank you for those still on the call and in the chat room. It is a love thing. We grow, we mature, we learn more of God, we learn more of ourselves. And as we continue to grow in Him and in His Word, we are steadily empowered even the more. We thank you, each one of you, for joining us today, for being with us on the line. We pray that something has been said that has helped you, has helped to empower you. And we ask that you join us again on next week. On next Saturday at 2 p.m., we will have as our guest Coach Leanne White and one of her players, Miss Sarah Jefferson. She empowers me, and I'll share more about that. But we'll be back again next Sunday at 8 o'clock a.m. for another empowerment teaching. Minister, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you, Evangelist. Oh, we pray today that as you go forward, you will do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we pray that you will take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all. Until next time. God bless.
Amen.